We'd like to dedicate.
I'm going to tape it and send it to
you. Okay. We'd like to dedicate today's learning for Furu Shleima to Mordechai Menachem ben Clara Rivka. He should have a quick, speedy recovery. We should have him back here very, very soon, in Mitzvah Hashem. In Parashas Lech Lecha, of the more difficult parashas in Sefer Bereishis, the Torah tells us of the first Nisayon, seemingly, that Avraham Avinu experiences in the sign of Lech Lecha. And the Machlokes we showed him in the Mishnah Novus of the 10 Nisayonis that Avraham Avinu had. What were the 10 Nisayonis? Most we shine and learn the first Nisayon was in this last week's parasha, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu it's time to move, time to leave, Lech Lecha, go away, and you will become great in another location. Many people asked a very, very obvious question over here, that what happened at the end of Parsha Nayach didn't get any mention. At the end of last week's parasha, Nayach, Avraham Avinu was tested with whether or not he'll jump into a burning fire for his religion or not. That doesn't make the cut for religion, for a Nisayon. This week's parasha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to him and says, listen, Avraham Avinu, right now where things are, you're not going to be great. But if you move to the middle of Montana, I guarantee you, you'll have a thriving kehillah, you'll have a yeshiva, you'll have a kailo, you have a lot of kids. It'll all be good, you'll have money, you'll have backing, you'll have everything you need. I'm not big Nisayon. I've seen people do a lot more with a lot less. That's a big Nisayon. Jump into a burning fire, no credit for Nisayon. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks that's not a Nisayon. Yet for this Nisayon, Lech Lecha, go there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make you great. You'll have the world will know you. You'll be wealthy. Everyone's dream. Big Nisayon. That's number one on the top 10 list of Nisayon. That gets the cut and not last week's parsha. This is the kasha that many people are bothered with. So the two standard answers that are given, one is from the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav said, the answer to this question is, you're right, 100%. But there's a big Yisoid over here in the psychology of human being. At the end of the day, says the Biskarov, leaving what you're used to and what you're familiar with is hard. Biskarov said about himself when he was fleeing Europe for the Holocaust, he said this word. He said, I know it makes no sense for me to stay here in Brisk. It's dangerous. The Nazis are going to get me. And I have to leave and I'm going to go away. But at the end of the day, it's hard to leave what you're used to, what you're familiar with, the streets, the stores, the people. You just know your area. It's always, change is hard. Everyone knows that. Says the Biskarov, and that's why this was a big Nisayon from Avraham Avinu. He couldn't, it was hard for him to leave all that he was used to, his family, his friends, whatever he knew of, and to go to another location, despite the fact that in the second location it was going to be much better for him.
That doesn't answer the question. It's still hard to jump into a fire.
So the answer to that one is really more like this. The Achrayim point out that the Yisoid of an Nisayon, this is very fundamental, the Yisoid of an Nisayon is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu presents you with a situation that doesn't make any sense. That's what a test is. Test is being put in a situation that logically does not make any sense. Avraham Avinu said to himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you could do everything you want. So give me all that right where I am. If you're going to give me my yeshiva, you're going to give me my whole institution and my family and wealth, why do I have to go there to get it? That was an insight. It didn't make any sense. However, it says with Pinchas Scheinberg, when it comes to giving up for your religion, that's very logical. Plenty of people give up for their religion. People have done a lot more for their religious beliefs. So jumping into a fire is showing your dedication. Yeah, that's pretty normal to ask of a person to show his dedication. But over here, what Avraham Avinu couldn't understand was, if you're going to give me all of that, why do you have to give it to me there? Give it to me here. If Hakol b'yadai, everything you could do, Hashem, why do I have to go out there to get all this wonderful thing? Give it to me. That's where that was deemed a Nisayon, as opposed to jumping into the Kivshan Eish, wasn't deemed a Nisayon. According to most Rishayim, the first Nisayon was, or one of the Nisayonis was, when Avraham Avinu gets to Eretz Canaan, classic Jewish experience, you come to the land, and your luck, all of a sudden now a hunger breaks out. Because Baruch Hu tells him to go to the middle of nowhere. Middle of nowhere has always been fine. Also, now he gets there, and now there's a hunger. So what happens? So there's a famous machlokes we're showing him to Rashi and the Ramban. The Ramban writes about Avraham Avinu in this week's parsha. Ki Avraham Avinu chato gadol b'shkaga. Avraham Avinu sinned in this week's parsha. It was an accident, but Avraham Avinu sinned. Says the Ramban, what was Avraham Avinu sin? He had no business going down to Mitzrayim. He should have stayed put. Kosh Baruch Hu said, "Come to Eretz Canaan. You stay in Eretz Canaan. Aye, it's a hunger. Aye, there's no food. I'll take care of it. Don't leave." Secondly, writes the Ramban, was a tyrant of him for putting his wife in such a difficult situation. Going down to Mitzrayim, who knows what will happen with Sarah. So therefore, the Ramban learns on this week's parasha, a very famous Ramban, that Avraham Avinu did not pass the test of going down to Mitzrayim, like Rashi learns. So according to Ramban, this was not one of the 10 tests that Avraham Avinu passed. Many people ask on this Ramban, who told the Ramban that he failed the test? Doesn't sound like that from the Pesukim. So the Chavetz Chaim says, he has a right to it, based on the Zohar, that Avraham Avinu taka was an Eimid bin Nisayim. And there's much discussion on this Machlokes Rashi in the Ramban, whether or not Avraham Avinu did his Ishtadlus or he didn't do. What's the Ramban's taina on Avraham Avinu? He should have stayed there. That's not true. We have a rule called Hishtadlus. When you're in a situation, you don't just say, Hashem, provide for me. We go, why don't we do all we can do to provide for ourselves? So if Avraham Avinu comes to a situation where there's a hunger, logic would dictate he goes somewhere else. So many Achareinim want to learn that Machlokes Rashi and Ramban was whether or not Avraham Avinu was beyond the regular level of Hishtadlus. Avraham Avinu was beyond that. He was at a point where he was so in tune to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should have known better that Hashem will provide for him. Us regular people, we're not so close. So we have to do whatever we think makes sense to get what we need to live. Avraham Avinu was on such a level that for him, he should have known better. He should have known that Hashem will provide for him, and therefore it wasn't the right thing to do. Right. Again,
he was at the very beginning of his connection.
Yeah. This is one of the reason why I'm quoting is because one of those very shver and bands that you have to know in Parshas Lech Lecha. Not to explain it, but to at least to mention it. Later on in the parasha, we find about Avraham Avinu and Loit, where Rashi, the Pesukim described that there was some form of machlokes between the Raya Avram and the Raya Loit. Rashi says over here that the Raya Loit were Rishoyim. Why? Because they had a disagreement about when exactly the Yerusha would take place. Avraham Avinu thought that the Bnei Loit don't Yarshin anything, and the Raya Loit felt that they Yarshin it. But what always bothered me about this Rashi is, why were they called Rishoyim? People have machlokes. You don't make the other guy a Rasha. They have a machlokes. A very fundamental machlokes when the Yerusha of the land began. Avraham Avinu said, you don't get it yet. And Bnei Loit said, no, since we're Yerush of Loit, and Loit is the only son, I'll be Allah, we're ready to get it. You know, a nice Chayshim Mishpat type of machlokes. What makes them Rishoim? So he always thought the Pshat was, you can think all you want, but once you hear the Psak is otherwise, and you still stick to your guns, then you attack a Rasha. You want to have a machlokes in the Sug, you're good. But when you brought the Shayla to Avraham Avinu, who was at that time, you know, he was the Gadol. Well, if he decided it's not right, then it's not right. You can think what you want to disagree with him, but if you're going to continue believing what you're believing, despite the fact that the Pesach was handed down, at that point the Torah or the Medrash feels that that's considered a Rasha. So even though the Raya Loit were coming from a good place, they were coming from a halachic standpoint, but when you're told otherwise that your halachic standpoint is incorrect, and you still continue to believe it, that a person gets deemed a Rasha. And then we get to the end of the Parsha, a very, very famous Ramban at the end of the Parsha, which is definitely worth mentioning, not worth explaining, but the Ramban says the following line. One line, Ramban, it's a must-see Ramban in Perek Tezayin. The Ramban writes like this, Vata'ena Sarah Vatifrach Miponeho. Sarah caused pain to hug her and she ran away. There's a whole discussion exactly what Sarah did to her. Those Mepharshim even write, Sarah used to hit her. Sarah hit hug her. She was abusive, verbally abusive, maybe physically abusive. Writes the Ramban, Chota imenu bi'ino yazeh. Our foremother, she sinned. And so did Avram by allowing her to conduct behavior like this. And Hashem listened to her pain. And Hashem gave her son. She pere Adam. It's going to be a grubby yid. To cause pain, Zera Avram v'Sara. To cause pain to their grandchildren, Avram and Sarah. With all versions of pain. So if we want to know why today we suffer under the hands of the Arabs in all various places of the world, Israel mainly, America, you name it, says the Ramban in this week's parasha, it's because Avraham Avinu and Sarah. So it's funny, we have Zchus Avos that we've been using for a very long time, and Avraham Avinu did it and we did it, but sometimes according to Ramban it's going the other way. We have to suffer with the sins of our Avos as well. So they're a very, very powerful Ramban in this week's parasha. Exactly how to understand it, what does it mean Avraham Avinu sinned and Sarah sinned, but again, it's the Ramban Lashitasa, because the Ramban at the beginning of the Parsha also took issue with Avraham Avinu in this week's Parsha. I say this week's Parsha, Avraham Avinu got hammered very badly by the Ramban. He took a lot of issues with many of his behavior in this week's Parsha. But nonetheless, we have the words of the Ramban where he says today that the reason why we're suffering under the hands of the Arabs is due to what happened in last week's Parsha with Avraham Avinu and Sarah, the way they behaved with her, the fact that Avraham Avinu did not stop Sarah from what she did and the way Sarah behaved. That's the reason why we suffer today under the hands of the Arab. Very powerful words from the Ramban. Again, not claiming to understand it, but just repeating the words of the Ramban to Maisa Ovesim Labonim in the reverse way, where today we suffer under the hands of the Arabs. We left off on last week's Shia, we were discussing the Gemara, where the Gemara points out, we have to figure out how can we make the get belong to the Isha without her actually making a kinyan on the get. We need to make sure she gets divorced, but we can't have a way to get the get actually to her rishus. So the Gemara said that Rava gave very clear directions, and Rava said, tell the Isha to go over to the place where the get is rested, make a kinyan where the get is rested, and by doing so, she'll acquire the get. So we left off yesterday, or last week, with a big machloikis rishonim. How exactly are we going to get the get to be belonging to her without her actually making a ma'aseh kinyan on it? So we saw last week, number two, that Rashi learns it's working through what's called Kinyan Agav. The Gemara in Kiddushin tells us there's a Kinyan called Kinyan Agav. If a person wants to sell or gift property and metatlin with it, believe it or not, next week we're going to hopefully get more into the lumdus of how this Kinyan exactly works. How does it work if I want to sell you two things and you only make a Maisa Kinyan on one, you get the other thing as well. That will hold off for next week as it will be relevant to the end of today's shir. So the Rashi says you do Kinyan Agav. Kinyan Agav is basically if I want to sell you or gift you metatlin and karka, I want to give you property and I want to give you land. So you only make one Kinyan on the karka and you get the metatlin agav it along with it. The Gemara in Kedushin says you don't need the karka and the metatlin to be in the same location. You can have karka in New York. I could sell you metatlin in L.A. I make a kinyan on the karka. You will get the metatlin as well. That's what the Gemara comes out. The Gemara does say, and this will be important for today's year, that if they're not on the same place, they're not on the same location, then you have to speak out the words agav ukni. When you're going to do it, you have to speak out that I want to buy the land, agav the metatlin, then I'm in another city. Okay. Is this a Kenyan Rabban? Is this a Kenyan Raisa? That will all be Blin Ezra discussed in next week's share, as it's very relevant.
Can you do an Agav on Karka and Karka?
No.
By speaking it out?
No, and we'll talk more in next week's Lumdus why you can't do that. It might be totally in the fundamental understanding of what Karka and Metatlin, the relationship that they have, that one's an Ikker and one's a Tuffel. Karka and Karka are two Dvarim Chashuvim. They can't be bottled to each other. But Karka and Metatlin, and that's why you can't go the reversal way either. You can't do Metatlin and Agav Karka. Let's say I want to sell you Metatlin, so you make a Kenyan on Metatlin, and Agav that you get the Karka. That doesn't work. Because again, it has to go in a certain direction. Pashtus because of psukim, but maybe even more so because of lumdus, that one's going to be the main and one's going to be the tuffel. So metatlin can never be the main. Even though, again, you can have a situation where metatlin are much more valuable than karka. Right? Metatlin can be worth millions and millions of dollars and karka can be worth nothing. But nonetheless, that's the way it has to go. So the Gemara tells us something called kinyan agav, learn from psukim and navi. So Rashi learns that's what happened over here. When the lady goes over to the karka, so they get sitting in the husband's backyard. She goes over to the backyard, she closes the door, she now owns the backyard, and along with the backyard, she acquired the get that's there as well. That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. It's working through a kinyan called kinyan agav. Rav HaRishonim argue on Rashi, but seemingly for two different nekudas. There's two elements that the Rishonim didn't like with Rashi's pshat. First problem that the Rishonim didn't like with Rashi's pshat was that it's not mashma like that from the Gemara. The Gemara is very clear that when Rava said, how do we do this? Rava said, where do you make the Kinyan Chazaka? You go over to the place where the get is rested. If it's Kinyan Agav, why did she have to make a Kinyan on that area? She could have went over to any one of the husband's homes, made a Kinyan on another property that he has, and she'd still get the get. Why was Rava so particular about his description of what you do? Rava said, go over to the place where the get is rested and make a kinyan chazak on that place. Why do you need that place?
Who said he's giving the other land? This at least it makes sense that he's giving because the get's there. But
again,
who says you're giving the other land? It's 20 miles away.
No, because the point over here is the husband knows that, again, he's obviously a shlimmer, he's not in the best of places, but he understands that the idea over here is, how can we get the get to become hers? So someone told him, if you do kinyan agav, the get becomes hers. Fine. So you don't have to give that specific area. We paskin, you don't need tziburin, right? It doesn't have to be on top of it. So why was Rava so careful when he told him, make a kinyan on the place where the get is sitting? Well, why there? Make a kinyan on any of the husband's properties, and you'll automatically get the metatlin. That's the Rishonim. Yeah, that was what we said last week. It's Shtikl
HaKimta. Maybe another is that if you need a D-bor by Kinyan, there's some problem with D-bor.
Very, very good, very good. That's a Chassam Sofer's answer. That's why I mentioned that one line before, to set up for that Chassam Sofer's pshat. Very good. That's going to be the Chassam Sofer's answer to this kasha. But the Rishonim all thought that it's strange that why would you need to have that he's kind of that actual place? That's kasha number one, which all the Rishonim ask. Kasha number two, which only some Rishonim ask, is number three, is the Ran. The Ran asks, and Rashi, he says, "V'loini here, I don't like Rashi's pshat. The imkain, if so, lomaliya hu duchta diyasa begita. Why did he have to be kind of the? Why did she have to be kind of the place where they get sitting? The hakaim alone we hold, the lebi inin siburin. We pass, you don't need siburin. Can the isav a perikam of the kedushin? So why was he so careful about telling her be makne the place where the get is? Elavada ein isha miskareshes ba'agav. So many mishnayim write this line. So you see from this gemara that agav wasn't an option. Why not? Why wasn't agav an option? You're right. It's clear from the Gemara that when Rava told her what to do, he didn't include agav as his kinyan. Why not? So I would have answered because agav is a kinyan derabanan. And kinyan derabanan are not as good as a kinyan deraisa. Chatzar is deraisa. Agav is derabanan. So if I was Rava and I have to pick which kinyan do I want this lady to do to make to get hers, I would opt out for a kinyan deraisa, not for a kinyan derabanan. That's pashup shot. But the Ran adds one line. Why? The be'inan v'nosan biyodo v'leka. No, says the Ran. You know why agav doesn't work? Because it's lacking a fundamental component of gerushin, which is v'nosan biyoda. You have to make a mice in the sina. Over here, yes, the get belongs to her, but the husband never gave it to her. There was lacking an element of gerushin, which is the v'nasan biyada. Every gerushin needs what we call a ma'isa nesina. There was no nesina over here. All that happened was that she ended up with a get at the end of the day, but it was never given to her directly from the husband. So how does chatzah work? So the Ran says, I don't like my pshat, so I go chatzah. So he says, my chatzah, the pshat, when you put it in her chatzah, that's like you put it into her hand. Ah, good. We'll have to get to that. That's the shach's problem. But that was there before. Okay, we'll get to that. Oh, very good. Okay, good. Okay, everyone prepared before. Did everyone see the Maram Akramis before? Okay, very good. I know I sent it early, but I don't know if everyone got a copy of it early. Okay, no problem. So the Ran therefore disagrees with Rashi, and he says the pshat over here is it's chatzah. Because it can't be agav, because agav never works for gerushin. You can never divorce a lady with agav, which means you can't say to a lady, here, listen, I have property and I have a get. I'm going to give you the property, you'll get the get. That never works. Why not, says the Ran? Because it doesn't have a nasan biyode. As opposed to a chatzar, when you put it in the lady's chatzar, that's if you put it into her hand. The Gemara made a drasha. In the aliyada, gaga, chatzar, vakififa minayin. We learned this on Omar Aleph. The Gemara makes a drasha that including in her hand is her chatzar. The problem is, so what does Rashi do to combat this time?
So we always gave examples where you have a mice in the scene without a
king.
Here you have a
Kenyan without a mice in the
scene. That wouldn't necessarily go in that direction.
So that's what we need to talk about. So Pashup Shan and Rashi, what Rashi would say is that he disagrees with the side of the Ran. Now, who says you need the Nasan Biyada? When the Torah writes the Nasan Biyada, the Torah doesn't mean that you need to put it into her hand or put it into her backyard. What the Torah means is she needs to own it. No, the normal way to own things are putting it into their hand or putting it into their chatzah. But if you can come up with a novel way to make the get hers, that's also okay. Which basically means that Rashi argues on this yisoid of what we call the ktsais. We spoke many weeks about this yisoid of the ktsais, that the ktsais holds the way you make gerush is not by acquiring the get, but it's by the actual delivery of the get. All you do is give her the get, and that makes the gerush no kinyanim necessary. Rashi would disagree. Rashi would say, that's not true. That's not how you make gerushin. The way you make gerushin is by the acquiring of the get. Now, there's many ways she can acquire a get. Putting it into her hand, she acquires it. Putting it into her backyard, she acquires it. Or Kenyan Agav, she acquires it.
Or you can just simply say, the other way, so you could say that Agav is a Nesina. Who said Agav is not a Nesina?
Okay, maybe.
Who says Agav?
Maybe.
You're assuming that it's not a Nesina.
Okay, we could possibly say that. Again, the Ran's taina is on Rashi that he thinks there's lacking of a nasan biyada over here. So Rashi has two options. He can either say, I don't think there's ever a nasan biyada. I don't think you ever need it. Or he'll somehow tell you, this is a nasan biyada.
Is there any way that a married woman can own anything while she's married? Or is it always automatically her husband?
Unless her husband gives her menashe, unless he sets up that he doesn't want to have ownership in it.
So if he does that on a klaf, so now she owns that klaf.
Right.
But then he writes the get on the cloth. So he writes it on something that she already owns.
And then what? He's going to give it to her? He's going to leave things the way they were?
He leaves it. And he leaves it.
Right. That would be a problem. We're going to talk more about this later today. But that might be a chasar in one or two elements of gerushin. That there was no nesina mitzad him. The fact that she owned the paper before maybe might also be a problem. But pashtus, the problem is there was no nesina. There has to be a giving. You know, even according to Rashi, they might have to be given, which we'll see in a few minutes.
But does that really make sense that you could be cornered selling without having it being given to you? How did you get it? Someone gave it to you.
Right, someone halakhically gave it to you.
I think even the Katsos, I think, could agree in this case. Because all the examples of
Katsos
gave.
Oh, good. That's what I want to get to in a second. So the way most people think is that it's an all or nothing option, which means if you accept the notion of the Katsos that kinyan, that get works without kinyan and all about Nesina, so then Rashi makes no sense. Then Rashi can't work. Because in Rashi's world, there's no Nesina over here. So you have to pick sides. So the way we would say it till now, that this is side of the Katsos, that kinyanim is not the element of gerushin. Is it machlokes rishonim? How's it machlokes rishonim? All the rishonim that ask on Rashi that kinyan agav doesn't work, that's because they all assume the way gerushin works is all mice in Nesina, 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 and agav doesn't have a Nesina. Mashen Kin Rashi, who's really a das yachid over here, as far as I see in the rishonim, his mom's the only one who says this. According to Rashi, he argues, he says, no, gerushin is not about giving, gerushin is about acquiring. So we'd have a very nice machlokes rishonim in the side of the tzai. However, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik clearly learned not like this. If you look at Reb Chaim has a piece over here where he clearly did not learn the way we're saying now that it's either or. Either you hold like the tzoyis, or you don't hold the tzoyis, and the two never cross. Says Reb Chaim, there's two possibilities. Says Reb Chaim over here, number four, hinei nira diyesh nei mine gerushin. So Reb Chaim, you said, there's two ways to make gerushin. It's not either or. I either do kinyan or I do nesina, says Reb Chaim. The pshat is the Torah is telling me there are two methods or two modes to create a chalois gerushin. Shnei mine gerushin v'skarshus beget. Yesh din gerish an aydin nesinas, nesina. There's one way to make a divorce through just giving her the paper. B'mayda osi haget liyoda, the fact that it got into her rishus, nigmar hagerishin. And for this type of divorce, she has to have no consent, because that's the chiddush ha-Torah that gerushin is bakorcha. All you do is put it in her hand, and you're done. Even if it's against the will, she's screaming, no, 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 it doesn't matter, because she's not acquiring the get. You're just placing the get. There's another way to make gerushin. There's another way to make chalos gerushin, by her actually owning the get. That's who her having one of the darkei kinyanim to actually own the get. So Reb Chaim is basically telling us it's not either or. It's not either kinyan or nesina. They're both viable options to make a gerushin. Zok Reb Chaim, what's the raya? Rashi in our Gemara. Says Reb Chaim, ukemoydim nesina shitas Rashi ba'azayrik. Like Rashi said by us, the moil agav beget. Rashi said you can use agav beget. The chazinim is the gam kinyonim shalmam and mahani begerushin. Zok Reb Chaim, I'll bring you a raya from Rashi. From the fact that Rashi says in our Gemara kinyan agav works, so you see it's not either or, that this is one option to make a chalos gerushin. There's another way to make a chalos gerushin, that would be through a nesina.
That's the same as either or. Right?
Yeah, either or means either one.
Not either or, half or half.
Meaning what I mean to say is that with Arab Chaim, you'd learn there's only one way to make gerushin.
Right.
And you have to decide which one you want. Reb Chaim is saying, no, they're both options to make a divorce. What's Reb Chaim's raya? An interesting raya. It's a raya from Rashi and our Gemara. Chayra, according to all the other Rishonim, Rashi doesn't have a raya. I don't understand. If Reb Chaim is right, that you see from our Rashi that you can do either a Nesina or a Kinyan. Right, clearly Reb Chaim wasn't going with the Rishonim. All the Rishonim ask a Kasha and Rashi, how could Kinyan Agav work? It's not Vinasim Biyada. What's the Kasha? I'm going with the other way. I'm checking the other box for Gerushin. If Reb Chaim is right, that there's two ways, according to all Rishonim, to make a divorce, either through Nesina or through Kinyan, what was the Rishonim's kasha on Rashi over here? All the Rishonim come and they ask on Rashi, it's not Vinasam Biyada. What's your kasha? It's not, I don't even know Biyada. You agree you don't even know Biyada.
Rashi's exclusive.
I don't know if, from the fact that Rashi gave it as an option, that means...
No, that's the one it said. That means that's the only way. So what?
That's the whole point. Reb Chaim is using this Rashi as a raya, that this is a second path.
The Ron would hold it, that's why Rashi said it this way.
Meaning these Rishonim will tell you...
I disagree with this principle.
You know, I'm okay with that. I'm not here to defend Reb Chaim all the way to the end. I have no problem saying that the Rishonim are not like... And I saw later Achraim, right, that this Reb Chaim is connected to all the Rishonim that we just saw. But the point is that if the Rishonim are all coming to attack Rashi, and their big attack on Rashi, that's not a Ma'aseh Nesina, according to Reb Chaim, that's not a Kasha on Rashi. Rashi knows that. Rashi agrees with that. And Rashi says, yes, thank you, I know very much that you need to have a Ma'aseh Nesina, but I'm also willing to say that there is another option. Unless you somehow could tell me... Reb Chaim says later on at the end of the piece, so when do you use the two different ways? Depending on the situation. Let's say you have a situation where the woman does not want to be divorced. She's screaming, Chaim v'chaim, I don't want to be divorced. And she's screaming, I don't want to be kind of the get, I'm not kind of the get, I have no das kinyan for the get. She knows a lot. And therefore she says, I'm not kind of the get. So Reb Chaim would tell her, very nice, you're not kind of the get. We'll use the other way to make gerushin. We'll use the nesina way. However, says Reb Chaim, let's say you have the other situation. Let's say she's more than happy to get divorced. She's dancing the rooftops that she's getting divorced, and she's willing to make the kinyan on the get, so then it could work the other way. All right, so sometimes you need to use one, sometimes you need to use the other.
Why would Rashi in that case not use the other method? Why wouldn't he just say chatzah like a...
So we'll see that there's good reasons why Rashi didn't pick chatzah in a second. Unless you somehow tell me that in our Gemara you needed to come on kinyan agav, because you need to come on to a case where she wants to make the kinyan. I mean, by this case, the woman wants to be kind of divorced. At least we think so.
Why wouldn't the scene be on that kinyan?
Why wouldn't it be?
Yeah. If it has to be a higher level. If you get the kinyan level, then it's quite what you objected
on the scene. Right. I think the question really is, what did the Torah want when it said the parsha of Gershon? You read the parsha of Gershon, parsha of Gesetze, the Torah is very vague. The Kassav Allah said, "Krisus v'nasim yada v'shilchem v'besim." That's the whole shebang. What does the Torah want Gershon to look like? Meaning, what creates the severing of this relationship? It's very hard to know. So I think the Tzais will tell you that what the Torah wants is just this Ma'aseh and Nesina. That creates this magic krisus. Why? I'm not sure. I'm not really sure why.
I understand the Tzais, but if you go to the extent of actually being co-med,
right?
Then that in my mind, it's logically, it's better than...
But that's you assuming that the Ratzon HaTorah was that you should own the paper at the end of the day. If the ratzon haTorah,
it's a separate thing. It's just a mechanism, but it's certainly a nesina. If you're kona, if you have a higher.
Again, it's really different. Again, we're all really working backwards, trying to figure out what meaningful. Let's say the Torah wrote the kasa biyad, the nasan law, and put the get on the rabbi shtender, and that's how you make divorce. Okay, that's what the Torah said. Her hand might just be a marimakim, a location. For the same price, you could have put it on the rabbi shtender, on the bima, anywhere. I don't know what the Torah wants. That's why I have a little bit of trouble with the tzais bishlam. According to the Rashi, the Torah says she needs to own it. Every legal document works with ownership of the paper, so that makes sense to me. But according to the Torah, just place it. Place it where? Place it anywhere. Why did the Torah say place it in her hand?
Especially because
it's a strange thing.
You have a model of kedushin where the woman does need to be koneh, and you think they would be comparable.
Right.
Right.
That's why the Torah himself, and now the Malum, we spoke about this, what happens by shtar kedushin? How does that work? Because gerushin is really a funny thing. It's a chiddush haTorah that this somehow magically breaks the marriage. So I don't know how the Torah wanted to go about doing it. So the Torah will tell you the Torah didn't care about the acquiring of the paper. It cared about the giving of the paper. Okay, I'll accept it. I don't really understand it. I don't know why. The same person Tariq said put the get in the mailbox or put the get, you know, on the wall. I don't know. According to Rashi, I think it makes a little bit more sense to me. The Tariq is saying hold on to the get because your acquiring of the get creates the chalas. So this Reb Chaim is very geshmak, but it seems not to be in line with the other Rishayim, which is fine. I'm just saying that we so far have two ways of learning how to make a chalas gerushin. You have, according to the Rishayim, you have one option. Rashi's option is you can do kinyan. The other Rishayim say only Ma'is Nesina. Reb Chaim says either one is fine. Now it's possible Rashi agrees to that. We don't see the other way. We don't see that Rashi says you can't make a Nesina. We just see Rashi says at least you can make a Ma'is Kinyan. The issue with Reb Chaim is how does Reb Chaim get so much out of one pasuk? The Nasan Biyada means either be koinit or make a Ma'is Nesina. It's a lot to take out of one pasuk.
From Veshuchim Beis, how else do you get to that point? It's only Ayudei Kinyan.
Why? Veshuchim Beis through a Ma'is Nesina.
No, I'm saying, or another way is. You know, it's how would you get rid of something? Somebody else makes a kinyan on it, you give it to them.
The shulchan means you send her out of the house. Again, you're sending her out. That's the outcome of it. How you got to that point, I'm not sure. So I think I don't think it's a kasha. I think it's a ara. According to Reb Chaim, how do you get both things from one? Bishlam of Vishilch, you learn the pasuk, but nasan biyada means you put the get into her rishos, fine. You learn nasan biyada means she makes a kinyan on it, fine. To learn both, but nasan biyada means either or. It's a little harder.
Explain how you can have. We know there are cases of kin where there's no kinyan by katana.
Yeah, so we answer right. By shoita. Right, by shoita. Right. Right. So we mentioned achrayim all came up with answers for those ones. Reb Chaim will just tell you those are not kashas because you can do either one. You have two options. Okay. I just think this is a gishmak Reb Chaim. The beauty of it is that it's really connected to Rishayim. That's the gishmak part of this Reb Chaim. So that's the first kasha. The first kasha that Rishayim had was that where's the ma'is nesina? The answer to that is who said you need a ma'is nesina? Mechatesa. Maybe you don't need a ma'is nesina. That's kasha number one. The other kasha that Rishayim all had was a bigger problem. Was why was Rava so careful to make sure he's clean to the place where the get was? Who needed that? Agav works without Sibur. It doesn't need to be piled up. So if it doesn't need to be piled up, why was Rava so careful to tell her, Daf could be kind of the place where the get's sitting. Let her be kind of any property and it would still work. So if you look in the Ktsois, in number 5, the Ktsois comes to defend Rashi. The Ktsois says like this, so, Yashiv Divi Rashi Nira, he wants to be Miyashiv, why Rashi was so careful to make sure that he was Daf could kind of the place where the get was sitting, based on the Gemara Bamitsiya. Hai Sidura command the pasuk dami parach alem adam minon get biyadoi mishicha biyadoi. The Gemara talks about a case if a man gives a woman a divorce, he gives her the get, she's holding on to it, she's cutting it, she picks it up, and there's a string that he holds on to on the get, and he can pull the string, and the get flies back to his possession. So the Gemara says over there, ena megureshes, that's not a good get. Hayu v'yachol natkei levi etza, because at any moment he can just pull the string back, he'll get the get. It's not a good divorce. When Mishayim the Gemara has the answer to the Shani Hasan, it increases Veleka. Or Mevor says the Tzoyis, the Gabi get, Avagav the Kvar Konsa Haget. When it comes to divorce, even if she actually owns the paper already, for Haget be Yodo, and the paper is sitting in her hand, who command the Pasuk, it's like they're finished, separated. El Shiyach, Lanatku, Laviat, so he could just bring it back. Akati, Ogud Gabe. That's called enough that they're still connected, Veleya Vikrisis.
Why did he have to say, the Kvar Konsa Haget?
Because he's trying to bring home the point that even though she's in complete control of this, she's at least
physically.
Right, because in the Gemara over there, it was relevant to making kinyonim. He's trying to drum home the point by saying if she's holding on to the get, it's in her possession. She got everything, she owns it. If someone were to come and steal this paper, they'd be a ganif from her. It's in her hand.
Right, but why did he just say it was biyada? Isn't that enough? Why did he have to say and that?
that she owned it.
Because I think he's trying to prove to you, because we'll see in a second, that you would think once the divorce is over, because she owns the paper, it's over. That's it. Game's over. The fact that he can pull it back, we don't care anymore. It's over. She was kind of the guy, now she's divorced. Says it says v'im kain. Let's say the husband would have said to her, listen, the get's sitting in my backyard. I have property somewhere else. You go to the property, make a kinyan on the property. You'll own the property. You'll own the get with agav. But the get will stay in my backyard. Says the tzoyis, that would not be a good divorce. Right? Because the get would stay in his property. They'd still be connected because the get is sitting in his possession. The haget brushu soy, because the get sitting in his backyard. Will be inan krisos veleka. You need to be able to sever all ties you don't have. Mishum hachi yov lahayduch the diyosef begita says the tzoyis. That's why Rashi had to say that you need to be makne her the place where the get is also. Now she owns that piece of property, so the get sitting in her property, and now everything is good. So writes the tzoyis. Now I think we all agree there was a bit of a jump that the tzoyis made from our Gemara to the case of the shrink. At our Gemara, the get sitting in his backyard, fine. He's not holding it. He's not controlling it. He's not blocking her to get access to it. It's sitting, happens to be physically sitting in his backyard. The case of the string, he's completely in control of this get.
But in the string, he didn't actually pull it back. You're saying he has the potential to
okay,
pull
good.
It back. It's the same thing. He has the potential to block her from
so let's see.
And getting the get.
So let's see how...
What about Geneva?
It is Geneva.
Why is what Geneva?
Why does it work? Why is that an issue then? I'm saying, if she's really Conehead, if it was the case in which she's Conehead, then, you know what I'm saying, why isn't that mechanism which you have to undo it?
The divorce is irrelevant to whether or not this guy's a good guy or not. The divorce is that at the end of the day, the Torah has rules for what makes a get.
So
and
why
this,
it's not Conehead?
Why shouldn't it be Conehead?
I'm saying you're going through something that's not allowed. You're saying, oh, we're going to undo something that...
No, the fact is, so we'll have to talk more about what makes this get not Conehead. We'll talk more in a second, a few minutes about this.
Attached, how could she be Conehead? She didn't take everything.
What do you mean? You wouldn't say she owns the paper because the paper's in her hands?
Just
because
it's in her hands doesn't mean she owns it, because he has control.
And therefore, so Yesh Laden, totally. Is that a chesaron in Kinyan, or that's a chesaron in Nesina? Where's the lacking over here? That's a big yesaron. Is the lacking in he never gave it? Oh, well, yeah, that's for sure true. But if we broke that down another level, we figure out, where's the problem? The problem is she never really acquired it, or the problem is she never really got it? So that's the Shiloh. That might be the nafkamina between the two ways of making Gerishin. Yeah, it might be both. Well, we'll get to that hopefully in a few minutes. But let's just digest the words of the Ktzais at least. According to the words of the Ktzais, the reason why the divorce, according to Rashi, the problem would have been if we would leave the get that she owns in his property without her having any access or control to it, that would be a problem in Krisus. That's the words of the Ktzais.
That would affect Agav then.
Every Agav? Right. According to Rashi, if you want to do a regular Agav, you wouldn't be able to work.
Reason.
Not because Kinyan Agav lacks, but because there's a technical Gerishin problem of Krisus. That's the way the Tzoyis learns Rashi. So the Stipler over here, number 6, has a whole piece on this. So the Stipler wants to know, what about the other Rishonim? All the Rishonim that asked on Rashi, and they didn't answer like this Tzoyis, what did they hold? Right, the Tzoyis is coming to answer up for Rashi. Why, according to Rashi, you needed to get to be piled up? And all the other Rishonim asked, why do you need to get to be piled on the same place? And they didn't answer like this Tzoyis. What did they hold? So the Stipler writes, Ubedasha, number 6, Ubedasha HaRishonim Shehikshu, and all the other Rishonim that asked on Rashi and did not answer like the Tzoyis, what did they hold? They held Dafka, who duchta nira, the Sari, the Dafka, Bahi, the Get, Biodim, Shech, Bioda, the Agida, Laguf, HaMegarish. Those Rishonim held that when is Ogud Gabi a problem? When the Get's connected to the body of the Megarish, he's holding on to the string, where he can easily pull the string and get the Get back. Avo Kishaget Nimtza B'Shus HaMegarish, but if the Get's just sitting in his backyard, it's not connected to his body. That's sufficient to say that they're separated. At the time when the get's chal, he has really no power over the get. Because she owns the get, she's kind of the get, he's not connected at all to the get. Afterward, then the husband has technically rights to the, not rights, but he's controlling it because it's in his backyard. Says the stipler, the other Bishanim held, that's not enough to make it Ogud Gabi. Ogud Gabi doesn't mean, well, it's in my backyard and you're not, you have no access to my backyard. That's not Ogud Gabi. Ogud Gabi means I have a direct connection to this get that I can easily move it, associate, do things with it. That creates Ogud Gabi. That's the Machloikis Rishonim according to the Tzais. The only problem is it's the steer in the Rishonim. The Gemara Daf Mem Chesamid Beis talk. The Gemara Daf Ein Chesamid Beis talks about cases where you're using Dalar Amos. The Gemara says that Dalar Amos of a person is kind of for him. So the Gemara has a whole shayla. What happens if him and her are in the same Dalar Amos and the gets between them? So the question is, does that work? So Rishonim will have a kasha. It doesn't work because it's Agad Gabe. The gets in his possession as much as it's in her possession. And the Rishonim all blib kasha. What do you mean? What's the kasha? You just told me now, the stipler, that that's not a problem of Agad Gabe according to all these Rishonim. The same Rishonim that ask on Rashi over here, the same Rishonim there that all say you're right. If the get would be in a possession that they both have rights to, that's Agad Gabe. What are you talking about? That's not Agad Gabe. Agad Gabe means when he's holding on to it, he's got a string, he's got some connection to it. The fact that it's sitting in his backyard, that's not Agad Gabe. So the Achreinim all ask that it's a steer in the Rishonim. So hopefully we'll get to Ein Chesam Dveis sometime. Really nether, gotta be careful what we say. Right, the famous story of Soloveitchik once gave an unusually long share. It's about 4 hours long. So someone asked him, "Rebbe, what's so long?" He said, "Because I said yesterday in shir, I'm going to get up to a certain point, and I didn't say bli nether, so I got to get up to that point. So I got to make sure to say bli nether. We're all going to be here until we get to Ein Chesam Dveis. So let's make sure we say bli nether. Okay. In any case,
what kind of kenyan is kenyan dalar amos?
That's a big kashat.
That'll answer.
So that's what, yeah. So that's we talked a little bit about earlier in the perek that kinyan dalar amos might be a right to the ktsois. That's about nesina, but that's a shayla. That's why when we keep on saying the ktsois is not the ktsois. It's based on a teisurin and ein ches that basically says this idea of nesina. But I don't want to ruin everything for everyone. So bli neder, we'll get to in when we get to ein ches. So that's the ktsois's understanding of these rishonim. If you look at number 7, Minchas Asher, Rabbi Asher Weiss, Stamazay takes an issue with the comparison of the ktsois to argumar. I'm not sure if some of the piece I think might be similar to the stipler, but I think in some nekudas I think he differs with his issues on the ktsos. He writes like this in number 7. Omnam yesh l'ayim. L'chayir medivir ha-ktsos. D'shani m'shicha b'yodai. There's something different about the case of the get with the string. The ain kan nesina gemura. The problem over here is if I give you something that has a string attached to it that I can snap it back, I never really gave it to you. It's not the problem that you weren't kain it, but the problem is I never really gave it to you. The kibun the meshicha biyada ube poyel yachul and natek as I get miyada, and because I can easily take it back, ain't in the sina gemura. I never really gave it to you.
Right.
I never. If you're looking at this from a bystander and you're watching what happened over there, would you say he gave it to her? No, he didn't give it to her. That's not called giving. Right. That literally. Right. That's not a mice in the sina. That lacks the ability of kinyan. Ava benidon didon says the Rav Asher Weiss. But in our case, the hikna habali isha saget bekinyan gomer. She owns the get without a doubt. Kinyan Agav makes her the owner on the get. Well, that's a ktsois. In Tzarek Shaget, you're a gil rishos ha'isha. Right? In Rashi's world, that's all you need. In Rashi's world, all we care about is owning it. We don't care how you got about the ownership. And the fact that she now owns it, that's considered you gave it to her. And that was the fulfillment of the Torah's will. So now what are you going to tell me? There's a new din? The fact that it's in his possession, that's a chasan increases? Basha Weiss's point is that the reason why that gets no good is because you didn't give the get to her. Because when you gave it to her, you lacked a mais and a sina. But Rashi holds you never need a mais and a sina. All Rashi holds is you got to own it. So she owns it. So you can tell me it's felt in her ownership because he can get to it?
He's blurring the distinction here. He's like moving between the two concepts of Nesina.
Exactly. He's sticking.
As if they're the same
thing. No, he's saying that Rashi believes you don't need a Nesina. So he wants to say that the whole chasarn of a string is when you're worried about the Nesina, how you gave it over. But in Rashi's world, I don't care how you gave it over. Rashi's world is one thing, ownership. So I got ownership.
But then the Gemara would be a guy big cash.
Good. Rashi. So we spoke about this. How did the other Rishonim learn this Gemara of Get Biyod and Mashiach Biyod? Yeah, we spoke about that earlier when we went through this Ktsais. So this Gemara is one of the Gemaras that everyone talks about. If you hold that all you need, if you hold that you don't need a Kinyan on the Get, so what's wrong with Get Biyod and Mashiach Biyod? She owns the Get.
I didn't like that whole Nesina. It has to be involved. That's the basic pasuk.
Okay, good. So we're going to see in a few minutes. So we're going to see in a few minutes. There's a piece from a Baron Cutler, which I don't think I understand completely, but we'll try. Where he comes to say that Rashi really holds both components, like what you're saying, because the Baron's bothered. You got to read the Nasan and the other. It's not like one or the other. You got to read both. Even Rashi has to read both. So we'll see in a few minutes how Baron wants to come to answer for Rashi.
Why did she own it? If there's a string attached to it.
So that's the question. Do you want to suggest the possibility that because the string is there, that lacks ownership? So
she doesn't have control.
The string isn't part of the get. She doesn't
have control of the object. Well, in the world of Chayshim Mishpat, forgetting Gerishin, would we say she's the owner of this piece of paper? She owns it.
Yeah.
The fact that he owns it, she owns it.
If somebody stole it now, who do they steal it from?
Meaning you want to suggest the possibility that the fact that there's a string there is a migareya, takes away from her ownership of the paper. Yeah. So that's what he's speaking out over here, that he thinks that that's not true.
If he does pull it back, is it Geneva?
Possibly. So, it might be. It might be.
So that's what I don't understand the Gemara, because the Gemara seems to be conceding the fact that she actually owns it. The Chasaron is in her control of that ownership. But legally, she owns it, and that's why should the Torah care anymore?
So that was the Ktsois' point. That's why the Ktsois wrote that even though she already owns the get, and still, if he could pull it back, it makes it no good. So according to Marshall Weiss, that's because not it lacks ownership. That's because there was never a giving. So that makes a lot of sense.
Forget about get. Let's say somebody sells a donkey to somebody, and the donkey has two ropes, right? So the new owner grabs onto the one rope, and the old owner didn't let go of the first rope. What happens?
I would think it's the exact same thing over here. I think in the world of Chayshim Mish, but it sounds like for most Achrayim, they have no problem the fact that she could own it. The problem is... It's just a Gerushin problem. So if it's not Gerushin, it sounds like it would work. But what it sounds like.
Does Croesus still tell you that you need a higher level than just ownership? That you need to be a complete break, and as long as you're not... There's some way with
possibly. I'm okay to suggest such a possibility that Croesus would dictate that the kinyan that you need is a higher level of kinyan possibly.
But the Croesus isn't the paper, the Croesus is the relationship.
The lack of Croesus, not the lack of ownership.
Right, that's his point. I think that's what we could debate. Again, before we saw this piece of Minchas Asher, when we talked about this in other sugyas, we were debating, what's wrong with get biyada, mishicha biyada? If you hold all you need a ma'is in the sina, then why is it no good? So the Achorim also, because that's not a ma'is in the sina. That's the same thing we're saying here also.
Say it is the sina, she does own it, yet there's a lack of Croesus.
Okay. What do you mean it's sina and owning?
Croesus isn't the piece of paper. Croesus relates to severing the relationship, the legal, the invisible relationship. It has nothing to do with a piece of paper. Not has nothing to do with the paper. It's just a modality that you get
Right. But the question is, if the Torah's hakpada was that the way this has to go down is that we have to be completely severed post the giving of the legal document, so where does that leave us now?
He can always run back in time and grab it away from it. If he's in a
Navarre. That's the point. That's exactly... That doesn't make it be your doy. That means he could. He could also hire people and.
So you can always have something like that. I think. Don't go by that. People do what they're supposed to do.
That's a stipulous nekuda. I think that was a stipulous point when he's holding on to it from the get go. So then clearly he's showing that he's still involved. The fact that it happens to be in his possession, that's not enough to say he's involved.
But why do you say that? I think you say that putting it on land think that that's not feasible. Why wouldn't that be the ultimate
and
not feasible? He owns the property.
Well, I think you have to work backwards. You say to yourself, where do I find the example of Croesus that the Torah tells me is a problem? So this Gemara and Gittin, Chaf Aleph, with the string. That's the only source we have to it, right? Yeah, we can make up what we want, but, is that true? If, let's say after the divorce, she gives the paper back to him. And that's back by him. You can tell me the get's no good? I find it hard to believe. I found the get's
good. That was the only question I was going to ask. It's not like Exuma.
I agree. I understand. When he willfully gives it to her, I hear there's a difference. I agree. But the point over here is, why are we so convinced that part of the Chalei's Gerushin requires that she needs to be the controller of the piece of paper? Because get the other mishicha, be other.
You can go to somebody else's. Your car sitting in the street. Yeah. You can do mishicha. It's yours. It's not yours.
No, but the point over here is the Torah gave her the ownership of this piece of paper.
Through kinyan agav.
So is it possible
if the seller doesn't want to give it to you, you don't get it.
The husband's willing. The question. That's the case of the string. But wait a second. The Tzoyis' argument was the same way when he has a string and he controls it. Same thing when it's his possession, he controls it.
But is that true? By kinyan agav, is there an automatic right to get the object that the... In other words, the person gives it to you by kinyan agav, right? So he still owns the property, but you are taking possession of the item on
correct.
The property.
Correct.
Does that automatically come with the right to go and actually retrieve it? In other words, can he stop you?
I don't think so.
In other words, if that's the whole point, is that I'm letting you take...
So you want to suggest a third possibility, that maybe the pshat is not so much a chasan and krisis, it's lacking bilis. You can't own something if you can't get access to it.
Right, so if you're giving it by kinyan agav, that automatically comes with the right to retrieve the item.
I'm not sure if the fact that I don't have rights...
The din is that because you're saying that the kinyan, this agav kinyan, entitles you to retrieve the item that we're giving you.
Right, I think kinyan agav...
It's a one-time only thing, but you can't stop you from doing that.
Why do you have to retrieve it? You just have to have ownership of it.
But so that's the question. Is lack of access...
That's a fun... If you can have ownership.
Is that true? If I would want to be makdish this thing, let's say it'd be an animal, I'd be able to be makdish it. You're not going to tell me this is Einab Rishusa, it's not in my possession? Maybe.
The point is we're getting caught up in the ownership of the paper. You just said it before. If the paper got burned up, if the paper got lost, if she sold it to someone, whatever. It's not a ksuba that you always have to own the piece of paper. It's only a kinyan. It's a thing that makes a chalos.
So that's the
once it happened, it happened. Or the paper is meaningless after that.
Right.
So who cares what happens to the paper? He pulls it back. She owned it for that instant. Halachic.
But that we know is not true. Because the Gemara says, "Get biyadim shicha biyadim." The Gemara says it's no good. Why is that? Why is it no good?
That's what I don't understand.
So if you learn the pshat is because get biyadim is a chasar and a sina, you never really made a good nesina, so that makes sense. That's very moving. That's the way of learning it.
She didn't own it because he said,
not if you understand.
Unless
she just
has ownership, she can't take over.
Ownership of what?
Of the gang. He has string. He didn't give up ownership yet.
Why do you assume that means he didn't give up?
He still owns it. He still has it.
Why does that mean he owns it? That means he has access to it. I agree with you.
He has the right. I
don't know if I say he has the right. He has the physical ability to do it. I don't know if I'd call it the right.
So maybe it's until the point where he doesn't actually pull it back. All he has is the potential to pull it back.
Oh, okay.
Right? He didn't pull it back.
Right.
So,
but the mere fact that he has the potential.
It's the same thing as I'm handing, I could snatch it out of your hands in any second. Right.
Once it hits her hand, she's divorced.
But that's why this Gemara is so hard to understand, because that's what the Tzais was hammering home the point. Even though she already was kind of the get, still get biyad mashiach biyad is going to be a problem, right, which is hard to understand.
Right.
This was supposed to be the easy part of the shir. Okay, fine. In any case, this is the Tzais and the stipler with the Moshe Weiss's Ahara. The Fi the Tzais, what would happen if you do Kinyan Agav in a case where the metatlin would be sitting in a hefker chatzar, or a chatzar that doesn't belong to either of them? Right? The husband owns property, and the get's not in his backyard, it's not in her backyard, it's in his friend's backyard, maybe even Hefka property. And he tells him, be makni the piece of karka, go be kaidel metaltel and agavit. Would that work for agav, according to the Ktzis?
Hefka, I understand. How by his friends? How could you do it by your friends? Hefka, you, the husband's taking ownership and then he's giving it over.
No.
The metaltel. The guy never gets
ownership. I'm never giving you the property. I'm never giving you property.
So what's the kinyan agav then?
I'm giving you property here and the metaltel is there. The location of the metaltel happens to be in my friend's backyard or in Hefka's backyard. It doesn't matter
who's
backyard.
Who cares?
Oh, so how would be an afkamid according to the Ktzis? If according to the Ktzis, that would be a good get. That would work. According to the Ktzis, that would be able to be a scenario where you'd be allowed to do Kinyan Agav for a divorce. Why? Because why is the Ktzis not like Kinyan Agav and Agimara? Because he says, oh, they're still connected because the get's in his backyard. Uh-huh. But if the get wouldn't be in his backyard, it'd be my friend's backyard.
Connection to him.
Right, as long as they get it out of his backyard, according to the Ktzis, that would still be a good chaloy. So that's important to note that Reb Reuven points this out in his Sefer, that according to this Ktzis, there would be a way that you could pull off a Kinyan Agav, even according to Rashi, in the right way, is if the get wouldn't be in his backyard, instead we'll get would be in the Chatzar She'enei Shoshne. There's a Reb Kiveger over here. Reb Kiveger brings down a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi clears the following Shaila. What happens if a person wants to give over an animal and he writes on the horns of the animal the get? Mm-hmm. Pretty creative way of doing things, okay? But he writes the whole divorce on the horns of the animal, and then he's Moise Parasa, he gives her the para. Mm-hmm. Now, she obviously doesn't put the entire para into her hands, she doesn't pick it up. She's Meiser, whatever kinyan Masir is, whatever kinyan you make on behemoth. So Yushalmi's Mesupik, is that a good divorce? That's Yushalmi's Suffolk. So Kveger in the Tshuva clears, what's the Suffolk of the Yushalmi?
What's Pshalmi for Nasim Biyala? Because you didn't put it in the hand.
So Kveger says the Chayr, the Nafkamini is, and this Machloikis Mishayin that we've been talking about this morning. If Nasim Biyala means you have to put it into her hand, so when you're Meiser a behemoth and you give her over the animal and she doesn't put the animal into her hand, that's like. Oh, one second.
That's too literal.
One second, we'll get to that. Says, this is Reb Kiveger. Kiveger says, that's the Suffolk of the Yerushalmi. If Nasan Biyada means the get has to be in her hand, you have to be kainit, literally, the Nasan Biyada, so then you don't have that here. If Nasan Biyada just means she has to own it, she owns the get, she owns the para. Maisa Mesir gives her kinyan. So if all it is kinyan, it should be sufficient. That's the way the Reb Kiveger starts to talk.
No,
because Chatzar is an extension of Biyada.
Right.
What?
Right,
so if you hold, you just need ownership, so this is Vinasa Miyada. But if you need Vinasa Miyada, it means you got to put the get into her hand. So you're not putting the get into her hand. And you're not picking up the animal, putting it into her hand. That's what he says. But is that called Vinasa Miyada? So then, maybe.
So Reb Kivega says, forget that. Don't be so overwhelmed. This is Reb Kivega. I think it's
Rashi said either way.
Before the Reb Chaim.
Yeah.
Right. Another Rashi, not like that. So Reb Kivega says, no, forget that. Venasa biyada means you have to have some form of the get into your hand. You don't need the whole get into your hand. The hema is the extension of the whole get. Says the stipler, says Reb Kivega, maybe that's the suffix of the Yushami. You need venasa biyada, but how much has to be biyada? What happened if the guy wrote a huge get? A big piece of paper. And she's holding on to a piece of the paper. You can tell me that's not Vinasa Biyada. Vinasa Biyada means the whole get has to be into her hand. It's not true. That's the suffix of the Yerushalmi. Which is interesting, Halacha L'maisa, Rav Shechter brings down from Rav Salvechik, who quotes his father, that he was Taka Makbid, when he did divorces, he'd fold up the paper and make sure the whole get's Biyada. He would not give a get like this, a big piece of paper like this. No good. Because then half the get is not in her hand. It's not Vinasa Biyada. Vinasa Biyada means you have to put the get into her hand. So he marries the halacha was choishes for this chakira. The stipe was bothered. He says we don't find this anywhere in the Gemara, and all the sugyas.
Right? They're holding on. To
that's
the
right.
They're on the edge. You have to cone.
Right. But the question just is forget the nasam biyada. The Torah says put it into her hand. What does the Torah want? So that's the stipe. The Kvega says maybe nasam biyada means this is not in her hand. Of course it's in her hand. Maybe it needs to be the whole thing in her hand. So it's interesting, the stipler writes, he hasn't found anywhere that anyone makes this comment. From the Gemara, it's not mashma anywhere that you need to actually have the whole get sitting in your hand. We don't find it anywhere. But there's a discussion about Halach and Pesachei Tshuva and Ebenezer. They talk about this. How far do we take this from Nasa Biyada? So this is Shtuk in the Gea, Halach and Maisa.
Who was the one that you said did it actually require?
Rav Moshe Soloveitchik was makbid when he used to be involved in Gittin. He was makbid the entire get be sitting in her hand.
It's like we discussed with Beis Soloveitchik, you know, does it talk to father's house, or is it any
right? What does it mean when the Torah says put it in her hand? Right, that's the shaila. Nasa biyada. What does that mean? I think if you ask most people, they say yes, this is being in your hand because I'm holding a part of it. But it really comes from this Reb Kivega. That's mesubik based on the Yerusham. Okay, so we now understand somewhat of an understanding in Shitas Rashi why Rashi is not a kasha. But the bigger problem. Let's go back to one second. The Rishonim were bothered with Rashi. Why does he need piled up? So the Chassam Sofer answer is like this. Because the halacha is, if you don't have it piled up on the same place, then you have to speak out the words agav u'kni when you're doing it. So the Chassam Sofer said, we saw in the Rishonim that we're so careful in this sugya to try to limit the amount of chilul Shabbos. We want to do everything and anything that would not be a possible zilzul to Shabbos. So says the Chassam Sofer, if you're going to make the Isha Gab and make an announcement, I'm agav u'kni, then I'm buying the land and agav I'm getting the metaltalin. So everyone's going to know she's making a kinyan on Shabbos. We don't want to make a public display of Kinyanam on Shabbos. That's why we wanted to use Kinyan Chazaka. Because Kinyan Chazaka, she opens and closes the door. That's not a clear Chilul Shabbos. So says the Chassam Sofer, if we're going to make her make a declaration of Agav Ukni, so everyone's going to know what she's doing. Everyone's going to know she's making a Kinyan on Shabbos. That we don't want to do. That's why Rashi wanted it to be piled up. If it's piled up, you don't have to speak out Agav Ukni, and we limit Chilul Shabbos. That's the Chassam Sofer's answer.
Under what Kinyan do you get the Metaltalin on the karka that's sitting there?
You also get to Agav. But you don't have to speak out agav ukni.
So that's automatic.
That's automatic. If it's not together, then you have to speak out to make it somehow bring it together. Which Belinether next week.
Can you eliminate the metaltalin from a sale of karka?
What do you mean by eliminate?
I sell you the karka, and
even if it's on it.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you'd have to speak out. Probably that I don't want to. We'll have to talk more about the whole kinyan agav is mitzad the makne. It's not so much the acquirer, it's the seller that really makes everything roll. Kinyan Agav is an interesting Kinyan that really works beside the Makna, which is why there's a Chakir from the Ktsais and others. Can Kinyan Agav work with Dvar Mahefker? Let's say you have Dvar Mahefker, and I want to be kind of both of them. There's no Makna there. So the Ktsais has a whole discussion, we'll get to Blinad the next week. Does Kinyan Agav still work in a case where there's no Makna? So you think to yourself, who needs a Makna? But if you understand that the whole kinyan is really coming beside the machne, and the kinyan is just really filling the void that the machne left for him, in that case it might be hard to do it when there's no machne. Okay.
What do you mean? You would get a piece of karka out of hefka and say, by agav this, I'm getting that piece of...
Also metaltalin of hefka.
Right. Somewhere else.
Right.
And then if somebody else would take it, I will...
Right. I mean, you have two things of hefka, right? You have a piece of hefka karka and a piece of hefka metaltalin. I want to be kinyan of both.
And not on each other.
Not on each other. And I want to make it my kinyan on the karka, and I want to be kinyan... So there, the tzai says it's sad, then maybe you can't do that.
Can't do
the only time kinyan agav works is if it's coming beside the ma.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The bigger problem over here in the sugya is, why didn't Rashi just learn chatzah? What was Rashi's problem? Why did Rashi have to come up with this creative agav? Why couldn't Rashi just keep it simple? That the kinyan is working with chatzah, like everyone else learned. What motivated Rashi to go out of his way to learn agav instead of chatzah? Good, so we answered up all the kashas on Rashi. But more importantly, why did Rashi have to veer off from the normal way of learning the sugya, which is chatzah? Why did Rashi learn agav? So the Pnei Yeshua number 7 brings down, it's really a base mayor, who wants to say that Rashi was choshish for the shach. Famous shach. The shach says kinyan chatzar only works if the objects were not previously in the chatzar. For example, according to the shach, if I want to sell you a fully furnished home, and you make a ma'aseh kinyan on the house, and you want to acquire all the metalfon that's in the house, according to the shach, that does not work. The only way kinyan chatzar works is first you have to own the chatzar, and then the metalfon can come into the chatzar. But if you want it to be that the metalfon were previously in the chatzar, and then you're cutting the chatzar, that does not work for kinyan chatzar. That's the famous shita of the shach. So says the base mayor, that's Pshan and Rashi. The reason why Rashi learned Kinyan Agav and not Kinyan Chatzar, because Rashi was bothered. The get was sitting in his backyard, ready for Ma'ariv Shabbos. Now she comes along and she gets Kinyan Chatzar. It doesn't work anymore. She can only be kind and mikanul haba, new things that fall into the Chatzar, not old things that were already in the Chatzar. So Rashi would be a raya to the Shita of the Shach. Very nice shtickle
term. Maybe it's
the difference between Dinim Mamanus
and Get. Because by Get, you have
Gita Vyadabar
and Shach.
Yes, so maybe
they can't come at the same
time. Yes, the Stipler Bamatzi has a piece like that where he wants to discuss such a tzad. Then maybe the whole Shach was only by Mamanus and not by... The Shach was happily talking by Kinyan. That's really he was talking about, the Sugi of Kinyan over there. And there might be such a chiluk between those two. The problem with saying that that's Pshat Rashi is it's a stira to Rashi later on. If you look in the Pnei Yeshua number 9, right under the Minchas Asher, the Pnei Yeshua says that this Yesh L'tmua. What forced Rashi to learn Agav? Again, you can add more in Rashi. Chatzar is a deraisa, Agav is the Rabbanon. Why would you pick a Rabbanon instead of a deraisa? So the Yeser Tema, the Lael, Bahod Omer Rova, Katzal Laget, Venasim Bechatzeroi. The Gemara talks about a case where a husband writes a get, he puts it in his backyard. Then the Katzal Lashtar Matana Olaf. Then he writes a shtar, I want to gift you my backyard. He gives her the piece of paper. Sokti Gemara, Kano Miskareshes. She now gets herself a chatzar, and she gets a get. How did she get the get? Sag Rashi. Rashi says over there, Upirish Rashi Lehedja, the Hainu Betam Chatzeru. The way it works is as chatzar. Well, chatzar. The get was in his backyard on Friday. Sunday he decides to gift her the chatzar. So how could it work a chatzar? According to this shtickle Torah of the Shach, it can't work as chatzar. So you see from Rashi that Rashi himself doesn't believe Pshat in the Shach. So if Rashi doesn't leave Pshat in the Shach, we're back to square one. Why didn't Rashi learn the conventional way of being Chatzar? Why did Rashi learn it was Agav?
The Shach learns that that's Mishram Agav?
The Shach is going to have a problem. How is he going to learn that Gemara? Right. And Chanami. The Shach, based on what he wrote in Chashmish, is going to have a little bit of a problem with how he learned the Gemara. Okay, so Mr. Shem, next week we're going to try to see, is there a fundamental difference between those two Gemaras? Then we have to see a Pshat from a Ba'aron, how to learn Rashi by us. And then Mr. Shem will go on to discuss, how does Kinyan Agav ever work? And is it possible that Kinyan Agav can't work by Gerushin for a totally, completely different reason? Sure.